Well, good morning. Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. So glad to be with you on this Sunday morning from 7 to 8. And I'll be with you every Sunday morning from 7 to 8, Talking Golf, until September 2nd. So hope you'll join us and have some fun with us on this early morning. The number to call is 877-337-6666. 877-337-6666. Join in on our golf discussion. Would love to hear from you. And joining us now is longtime friend, a Morning Read contributor, president of the Golf Writers Association of America, Gary Van Sickle. Good morning, Gary.
How's it going? You ready for Sunday?
Well, is there a golf championship going on here? I mean, there was so much controversy, you know, yesterday with Phil's antics and the course getting dried out and almost impossible in the afternoon with the high winds. It was really difficult to focus on the actual players and the competition.
You know, that's what's wrong with the U.S. Open. Nothing ever happens on Saturday. You know, all the drama's for Sunday. Saturday's kind of a snooze. You don't even have to watch it because nothing goes on. You know, it's a shame because really no matter how it turns out, the outcome has already been inevitably altered. And, you know, you think about Dustin Johnson, for instance, he got the bad late time Thursday, the early time Friday, the morning late time, the morning Friday, Thursday, and the late afternoon Friday times, probably had four shots easier. And now Dustin Johnson plays in the last group on Saturday, and it's the equivalent of another 4 to 6 shot penalty. I mean, this guy's, you know, 8 to 10 shots behind where he should be. So they messed that up, and then you had Mickelson doing his thing. Really, this was already as bad as 2004 and maybe worse. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure tonight we'll have a different story. We'll be talking about somebody who won the tournament and did something dramatic to win it, but it still seems like yesterday. Yesterday's fiasco is something we're not going to forget for a while, and I think Mickelson's actions and his subsequent comments will really may never be forgotten.
Well, let's start with Phil Mickelson. I mean, how can somebody of his stature, right, just lose it like that and think it's funny and then say toughen up and really make a mockery of this U.S. Open? I mean, I like Phil, and I had the pleasure of talking with him at a party on Monday night, and he's just so personable, and he's somebody who's so just knowledgeable about the history of the game, and I think it's out of character. Maybe others don't. But your thoughts on his antics on the debacle on 13?
Well, it reminded me, you can look at it a lot of ways, but it reminded me when that putt's rolling by the hole. It just seemed like he was a 9-year-old kind of whining that, well, I'm never going to win a U.S. Open. And he bats the ball. But it was obviously, here's the problem, it was calculated. I mean, he defended it like, oh, it was a smart play. It's in the rules. Well, the rules of golf really don't allow for things like that. You know, the rule that they applied, the USGA, as Brandel Chamblee said on Golf Channel, the USGA gave him a birthday present by not DQing him, which he should have been DQ'd. The rule about hitting a ball, a moving ball is about hitting a moving ball accidentally. What Phil did was intentionally alter the course of the ball to save himself shots, and then he tries to rationalize it by saying, gee, guys, in Augusta on the 15th green, if the ball's going in the pond, should run over and start batting that back. I mean, that's just inexcusable. Obviously, the rule says you can't, if you gain a significant advantage by doing something like that, the committee has the right to DQ you under Rule 1-2. And the USGA didn't want to do that. And I think that's an admission, because not only do they like Phil, but it's an admission that he did that because we lost the course. He did that because we lost the greens again, and he was angry. So, it really bothered me that John Bodenhamer, the head of the rules committee, or I'm not sure what his title was, but he was asked a question. The rules say if Phil had simply stopped the ball with his putter and just put it down and stopped it, he probably would have been DQ'd. How is hitting a moving ball better than stopping it. You know, and John was asked that and said, well, if he'd stopped it, would he have been DQ'd? And John's Bonehammer says, oh, well, I don't deal in hypotheticals.
Right, exactly.
You know,
he said
the same thing on TV. He wouldn't answer the question. And when anybody doesn't answer the question, it makes them look guilty and complicit. And Phil's comments about toughing up, I mean, on top of that, he gave a bogus story, and then he's arrogant on top of it. I mean, I don't know how big of a Phil Mickelson fan you have to be to sit there and think this was all right, but it was not all right. I haven't seen any significant player, any significant journalist say it was all right. I know there's two Rick Riley and Ian O'Connor said Phil should withdraw today. I know they're not the keepers of the flame, but they're two significant guys who, you know, who are not just looking for publicity. So it's a shame all around, and Phil kind of stole all the headlines today when we should be talking about we've got four guys tied to lead for an exciting finish, and we're still talking about why Phil didn't get DQ'd. You know, it's a shame.
And some of the mentality out there I've heard is that he was so far out of the tournament that it's okay. You know, I've heard that from some very respected voices in golf, and I almost dropped out of my chair when I heard that reasoning. That is not okay in any tournament, let alone a U.S. Open championship.
You know, there's nothing in the rule book that says what the situation is. You know, I had this discussion last night with somebody and said, yeah, he's out of it. It's like, it's not about that. It's about the rule. In fact, the rule isn't necessarily applied to tournament golf. I'm just out playing by myself. It doesn't matter what my score is, where I stand. I'm not supposed to break the rules. And to allow that and to let it slide, again, I think it goes to the fact that the USGA goes, well, it's kind of our fault because we made the greens this way. And I'm sure that was part of Phil's thinking was, well, I'm having a bad weekend. I'm not going to win the Open. I'm going to, you know, I said earlier in the week that they messed up, and I'm going to put an exclamation point on my stance that the USGA doesn't do things the way I would do them. Therefore, you know, I'm going to embarrass them, but really all he did was embarrass himself.
Well, it will be interesting to see, you know, how the greens on that controversial topic, how the greens respond today. I mean, you know, you can only water the greens so much. Gary, and you know they're going to have wind this afternoon as well. They're very, you know, they watered it last night. How do you prevent it from really getting out of hand?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I thought they figured it out Thursday and Friday. They were afraid there was going to be a lot of wind. So, I didn't talk to the agronomy staff on this, but it looked like the greens were longer. They didn't mow them as short because if they got big wind, the ball would be moving around. Yesterday, from the first group out, you're going, holy heck, what happened? It looked like they rolled them, triple rolled them three times. I mean, they had a gloss when, you know, early in the morning, and they were much, much faster. Now, they said, oh, the wind caught us by surprise. No, the weather forecast was in the afternoon was exactly what it said it was in the morning. It said it was going to get breezy up to maybe 20 miles an hour.
I remember reading the forecast in the morning.
Yeah, the USJ had it on the slip in the press room. You can pick up today's notes, and here's the forecast. They knew what the weather was going to be. So for them to say we got surprised is not being truthful, in my opinion. So, look, you raise the blades in the mower, and that's why those putts were bouncy on Thursday and Friday, because the Poana was a little longer, and you saw a lot of balls bouncing like basketballs. But that's the price you pay with Poana Green. So, If they're serious about this, you know, I think they have to make the only way to reduce the green speed is to let the grass get a little longer. And I don't know if they're willing to do that on a Sunday. So
and put the pin placements in reasonable positions. I mean, when I looked at this sheet when I came in yesterday morning and saw how many of these pin placements were near the edge, I mean, I knew it was going to virtually be impossible in the afternoon.
We're talking
to Gary Van Sickle, morning read contributor, president of the Golf Writers Association of America. We are going to take a couple of calls here at 1-877-337-6666. Let's say good morning to Rob from Lake Success. Good morning, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Listen, thank you. This is a long time coming. And I got a book here, A Passion for Golf. In 10 years ago, I came out to the Vineyards, and I We won, my group won the tournament. I guess you're outing, and I still have a BlackBerry, believe it or not.
Are you trying to make me feel older than I am?
Well, go back to the beginning, and so do I, but it was a pleasure meeting you back then and getting an opportunity. Listen.
And you still have a copy of the book, A Passion for Golf, Celebrity Musings About the Game.
And I wrote down, you know, the date, and we shot 15 under that day, but... I think it was best ball or four man, whatever format it was back then. But here's the point that I think with Phil, all right? Look, I've been playing golf my whole life, as you have, and this is absolutely despicable what he did. I mean, this is such bush league for a guy who the fans act like they love him. I mean, they do love him. And, you know, this comes across to me as a guy who really had a meltdown. Okay, he basically threw a tantrum, man. He threw a tantrum out there, and in golf, if remember, I'm watching the tournament, and I got a ticket to tomorrow. I think there's going to be a tomorrow playoff, which would be kind of fascinating because it's so bunched up, you know, all of these.
There's no tomorrow playoff.
Oh, there is no.
No, they got rid of that. It all ends today.
Okay, so that. But here's the thing with you know, which is basically with Phil pulling this off, it definitely is going to taint his record as far as you know what he's all about in my opinion, because there's no need for this. And let me ask you a question. I heard a caller yesterday, and this is maybe for your guest, unplayable rule. I heard a caller on one of the other talk shows. Would he have just called the ball unplayable and taken a one shot penalty if he would have let the ball roll all the way down?
Yeah,
that was something that was discussed, and Chris Moore, I don't think he understood the rule, or understood, or the guy who brought it up. So that is something that cannot be done.
Gary, do you want to answer that?
I think I'm not aware that you can't declare you can declare a ball unplayable at any time. You would have to either your option would go back and replay the shot, which. You really wouldn't want to do, but he wouldn't have been able to move the ball. He could have moved back on his line, I guess. But other than that, you know, he has to, if he declares it unplayable, well, he had three options. He could replay the shot. He could, declare it unplayable where it ended up, and then get two club lengths from there, or he could move back as far as he wanted on the line with keeping the pin in the line. But the best option would have been to replay the shot by hitting the putt. So, but it wasn't a good, you know. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me that he thinks that, you know, the penalty point, the two-stroke penalties was going to be worse than what he would have scored if he had finished the hole properly. Anyway, Gary, I really appreciate you coming on. We do have a fourth round, final round today here at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, a four-way tie for the lead. Dustin Johnson at plus 777, highest score by 54-hole leader since Gil Morgan's third round 77 in 92 at Pebble Beach. I'm sure you remember that as well. Lots to talk about. I wish we could just focus on the players and you know how they're enduring such a challenging golf course and conditions. But obviously, these other controversies have kind of taken over today. But I appreciate your insight as always, and I'll see you when you get out here.
All right, thanks a lot, Ed.
Gary Van Sickle from Morning Read and president of the Golf Writers Association of America.